completed.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just give you praise for a new day. Thank you for rain once again. We just are so grateful, Lord, that you're filling up lakes here at Points West. It is always a blessing. We just thank you for the progress you have enabled us to make on our loop. We just pray that you'll continue to watch over that project and bring it to a successful conclusion. Please administrate over our meeting today. Give us wisdom and guidance to properly consider each topic and make a wise decision on each. We just thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your protection. And again, we just ask now that you would take over. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In accordance with Section 551.042 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. Let's see if we've got anybody that wants to speak in general. Sue Evenwell, Judy Kent, and Diane Owens. Judy, in any case, you might want to address item number one. Does that mean the time during the general time? Okay, come on in.
I know y'all had a rough night last night, and I guess I've got questions, and I'm not quite sure who I would ask. I didn't know if last night was a dry run for us, was tweaking afterwards, or if this is our emergency alert system that we now have in place, but it was on a lot of people on Facebook this morning. I was a little frustrated. Of course, if a tornado had hit my neighborhood, I might have been very thankful, but last night after midnight, I believe, I received 4 phone calls on line one, which I registered with the emergency alert system. I received 4 phone calls on line two, which I did not register with the emergency alert system, and 3 calls on my cell phone, which I'm not sure if I registered that with them or not. The last phone call, and all of these are happening within an hour's time, the last phone call I got was telling me that we were under severe thunderstorm warnings, and I mean, there's lightning, there's thunder, there's rain, there's everything, and I would have needed them to call me in the middle of the night to tell me that. So I guess I'm asking if this is going to be tweaked or if this is what we got, because the last system, I would get one phone call and it would tell me to seek shelter. This one just kept calling and saying we were under tornado warnings, and I wasn't quite sure to get in the closet or not. So I guess, and I don't know if I'm asking Tim or who I'm asking, but I guess I'm just asking questions here.
And given that handled through the fire department?
It is. And unfortunately, none of us are able to tell you what the latest notification system is. But I think it'd be good. Why don't I get Chief McRae to come and explain whatever transition they're going through, how that happened, because I got multiple calls too, and what would be the best way to streamline that, if you want to opt out of it. Are there multiple notifications going on? I'm not sure. But that's the first time I've gotten that many calls like that.
Never have before. I mean, I don't know what was wrong with our old system. I got calls, and I felt very good about it, so I'm not quite sure why we changed. And I'm not quite sure if this just needs tweaking, so I just wanted to bring it up for questions and information.
Let's get some information from Chief McRae, and I'll put him on a future agenda.
Judge, if you contact Chan Shrek and Tyler, that will also call you. So at some point in time, you go to Greg and call him up there.
I mean, I really heard it was my whole family, and then I called the office. And they said the weather service at Fort Worth had even issued a tornado warning. So I have no idea where they came up with a tornado warning last night. And then it was all over. So they started giving better
Channel 7 had a tornado warning in Calco.
It came out of Shreveport.
It came out of Shreveport.
Yeah.
It's normal, but they already kind of, gone.
We didn't do anything with last night, so most of all, that will come out of Shreveport.
Well, I'm sure Chief McCray doesn't want you to experience what you experienced last night, and so is it, does it need fine tuning? Obviously so, but let's find out. He needs to hear this as well. I'll get more information. Anyone else on a general topic? Item number two, consider possibly approved minutes from our April 27th meeting, special meeting of the Commissioners Court. That was our second meeting evening for the month of April 2015.
Judge, I make a motion to approve minutes.
Thank you. Motion by Commissioner Hint for approval of those minutes, and seconded by Commissioner Parker. All in favor of approval of those minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item number three, status report for the Tyler County pass-through projects. I don't have a formal report today in my conversation with the manager. I don't know if they completed the base coat over the road last Thursday, but I know that they came close. Do you know if they completed that base coat? And this is not the seal coat. We still have seal coat to go, but the base coat is going to give us a fairly waterproof, I said base coat, prime coat is the actual name. This was a layer of spray put down all the way from the new 271 loop through the Creeper property and on out to Chapel Hill. They were fighting the oncoming of the rain Thursday afternoon, but they were making good progress there on Wednesday and Thursday. So with that down, that means that hopefully the water runs off and we're not subject to having to have the base coat dry out once again. Of course, every time it rains, that base, that 7-10, whatever inch base puts water on it, it just delays our timing for putting down the ultimate seal coat. So hopefully that is mostly gotten down, and they are, according to James Construction, they were telling PTP that they would be done around the 22nd of May. Now, we've got to factor in some weather and the fact that we don't always seem to meet our deadlines, but we have made, they have made good progress out there, and getting the base coat down was a significant step.
You know, I didn't
think of that.
I did not drive all the way down it, but the areas I did check, everything it was down. About the last 15, 20 yards of the road, they did not put the tackle on, but they'll do that a little bit there. They have to test, I forget how far it is, ever so far, it has to, the moisture has to be at a certain degree. And if that means that, they won't put the oil down. So that's the reason, instead of getting it all down Monday, it was Thursday before the time to have it down. Jimmy, over here, and I know they were working.
They were working on 1735. They're making pretty good progress. We're talking about doing good out this morning. We had a couple of trees down on the side down there, and then the guy when we cut them, check on the culvert that we had been having problems with, make sure it's okay. So I come out, to the Union Hill Road, I didn't go back through the road. Then it tried to school time too, and I didn't want to risk it anymore, but it already had been. But they're making good progress with it. I did not see if they got the prime coat out to 1730 all the way out to here or not. So I don't know if they got all the way out that way or not. I know they got at least out here, I saw it, going down the road, but I don't know if they got that far in out or not.
All right. I'll move on to item number four, considering possibly approved options for the Rapid building. Chris Fashion is here, as you'll recall, a couple of weeks ago. We had several items that we were considering. We passed a few of those. There are still some other decisions that need to be made quickly if we're going to opt in for these additional cost options. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. I apologize for my stuff in this, but to help find out my thinking your color. We have the same thing presented at the last meeting. The items in yellow are the ones that were approved at that time. They'll table items 4, 8, 9, and 12. We're going to go look at back here at that point, so this one, Judy is also here to speak to the items that are still open, as to what y'all want to do, and what she needs to have out of the air, so. And just the bathroom floor tile, because I understand it through your, still on the list, but it's not necessarily needs to be done, we can bypass that. The break at the door is such that you won't see the two tiles together except when the door is open. Number eight, the $3,000 is a combination of $1,800 for the actual built-in furniture, and $1,200 for the case openings. We moved the door, we moved the security line from in front of this office to behind this office, our vice versa, from behind office to front of the office. So it's now in the secure area, behind the wall, and that is a new case opening and a new door location. The lights we talked about, going from a 212 to 28, contractor also recommended 9B, one of the LED lights. That's kind of an expense that I recommend probably don't need to do at this point. Going to the T8 lights would be more than we say, just to refresh your memory on what we did when we started this project. We were trying to keep the cost as low as possible. We have about 45 lights over there that are 2x4 fluorescents. Some of them are old, some of them are new. We need about 27 of them to go into the new space, so we could reuse those old lights. They are energy, not as energy efficient as the T8s. And that is a good price on those lights, you gotta go with the price on them. And then the last item, number 12, is the breaker cabinets and sink. The original plan was to reuse the existing sink and cabinets over there. It's pretty small, but it's over there for elections administration. Contractor actually recommended maybe expanding it for the number of folks that would be over there, so. That's kind of what's on the agenda, so if you want to say something.
I don't have a lot to say, except I realize it's taxpayer money, I'm taxpayer too. I would like to keep the cost down as much as possible. I even tried to use some of my existing cabinets that we have now, instead of building all new ones. We weren't able to do that because the height level made it too tall. As far as $3,000 on the furniture, no, that is expensive. And if there's some way to cut it, yes, I'm very willing to cut it. I just don't see that, you know, there's been, few cabinets are $3,000.
But really, that was, can you say that's more like 1,800?
Okay.
Just encompassing that room.
Okay, see, I thought it was the $3,000 for the whole office.
Here they have to, and I've been over there to see this, but kind of the idea, if you'll kind of explain to these guys why the move of Gwen to that 7x7 office from the back, so that they understand what this was, what this was.
Well, we started out, like in my office now, there is a secure place with the wall that divides that part of the work from the rest of the, you know, for the public can't see the office being laid and everything. We didn't get that into the building now because of, I think, the violator, basically, it was gonna make up too much room. The next option was a storage closet. Well, let's put it back at the back of this closet, and I don't know, I don't want anyone in the closet. I wouldn't want to work in one, and I wouldn't put my employees in one. So the next option is to turn this other small area into a workable office. And that's what I want to do, is make it an office.
And then this was some built-in furniture, $1,200 of it was just the physical change of the door to a different location to encompass this 7x7 spot that's gonna be created into a private lockable office for Gwen. And then another $1,800 was the built-in furniture that would be a worktop, and then some tall furniture, and then some overhead built-in furniture, furniture cabinetry, I guess.
Shelving, whatever.
Tell us about the need to replace the bathroom tile.
Well, there is no great need to do it, you know, if you're replacing the rest of the flooring, it was, appearance-wise, was a little bit better to change it all, but, you know, it doesn't have to be changed. I mean, we're okay with leaving it. In fact, fact, the tile we picked out, Chris had a break in the corner. I mean, can you break it? It's a good tile, but, you know, we can live with that not being changed. That's fine.
The furniture there in that little 7x7 office, would that $1,800 replace the need for a desk?
Desk, yeah, and overhead.
How much does she need in there for the kind of work that she's doing? Is the desk adequate? I don't know.
Well, you know, adequate desk for the computer and the big old bit of work and a printer, monitor and everything. So, you know, we do need a little bit out there in there.
Chris, the kind of furniture that it would take to put in there would cost approximately what conservatively?
Probably $800, but I'm going to ask for the gallery to get a place to spread. We got a wiring for communications and power. So it could probably be half that cost if we just bought furniture in it. The advantage of building the furniture in is it's a 7x7 room, so building the furniture in maximizes the use of the space that's there.
Break room cabinets and sink.
I have some cabinets that we can actually move there in our break room now. They're movable, they're not attached, so we could actually move them.
So we could do without that?
Correct.
And then the lights, to replace the lights, we'll gain a nicer looking light and a more efficient light if we go to the TX. Those lights that are there now are old fixtures that have been there at the base of the building.
They have been, and they've been sort of in the place when they had the renovation of the bathroom several years ago, in terms of handicap restrooms. They replaced some of the lights. The company is concerned that they're different ages, and that we, given the age zone, they're not in the condition, and it may be 3 to 4 years before they start going out of the house. But there are, like I said, there are an abundance of 2x4 lights over there. There's older lights, because none of them are TAs, they're all TAs.
And this would replace everything front to back with TAs?
Correct. That is, that, you know, not that my opinion on this, but that is a good price on that. Of all things that are under, that's a great price for that many lights.
That's the smaller bulb, is that right?
Yes, TAs.
Which means brand new transformers in all of them, which are probably $30 to $40 to replace those as they go out.
Contract recommended that because when we worked over there, it was going to be a lot of renovation. And he worked a deal with the electrical contractor, and everything over there is new now. All the electrical is new, so the only thing that wouldn't be new would be the lights.
The transformer in an old lot costs as much as one of the stations in the TA. And I don't know whether most people know what a TA, the 212 is, but the fluorescent is the 8 foot or 4 foot fixture, light and a long tube in it.
Yes, sir.
And then the TA is a smaller tube and smaller transformer, I guess more efficient, but it's not very much more efficient. My house, I changed all my lights to LED lights, not all at one time. We spent $300,000 to $400,000, and we're going to have a modern day office. I don't know why we don't put LED lights in there. And I know the cost, but I mean, that's the future. We're talking about 12 watts of power to operate one of those, to 50 watts or 60 watts for one of the old, still going to have to replace the ballast, still going to have to replace the bulb. We've had them around, everybody's here. They haven't talked that time, but most of y'all's time. But anyway, I think it's going to
How many pictures did you show it was?
I think it was 27, I think about that, they came out, but it was less than $100 a picture. That does not have a PA, so obviously it's more than that.
Well, you wanna take them one at a time, somebody wanna throw out a motion?
I'll make a motion, we use the professional light.
What about on items 4, 8, and 12?
You said you were okay with items in the intersection, we won't be showing outside.
And we're fine.
So that cost of $13,600, obviously.
And you had more cabinets to go with that one, that's in the fire line.
Countertop full max, but.
And additional office area, tax office door, what are we looking at that cost, number 8?
Number 8 is the $3,000, $1,200 for the actual door, and $1,800 would be built-in furniture.
That converts this previously non-office space into office space, it secures it with a lockable door, and it provides built-in furniture in the form of a desktop, overhead cabinets, and printer computer, worktop.
What are your total costs for that?
$3,000.
$3,000.
If you eliminate the furniture, you're looking at $1,200. But then you're gonna have to come right back to buy desk, and a L-shaped desk, or something like that for a computer. And again, you're trying to make the most efficient 7x7 space that you can.
And you're looking to replace the lights with LED lights? I agree with that, I think, the light of the building, you're gonna end up paying for what you do here, because of electricity, as you said. And number 12, is that what you're doing?
That's a decision for you to make.
Whatever you want to say.
I don't have a problem doing that, I'm not questioning you, the recommendations go with the LED lights, addition officer, the tax office, that was $3,000, removal, replacement of the bathroom floor tile, eliminate that, and you work with cabinets and stuff. It's gonna be two different offices using that, correct?
Okay, just so I can back up, Commissioner Riddle did make an initial motion to, you know, go with the LED lights.
I think we ought to put the built-in cabinets, the whole thing. Every one of them, I think we should do that. I think it would be wise to do every one of them, isn't it?
So your motion is to approve items 4, 8, 9B, and 12. And to identify those, that's for going ahead and replacing the bathroom tile to match the rest of the building. Going ahead and converting the 7x7 to office with built-in furniture.
Right.
Replacing existing ceiling lighting with LED, and replacing the break room cabinets and sink.
Yes.
That is the motion.
Second.
Second. Now, before we vote, Sue, I see that you could ask to speak on item number.
No, that's fine, no. That was just a,
Sorry, I missed that. Okay, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor of this motion say aye.
Aye.
Item passes. Judy, thank you. Chris, thank you.
And the next on the windows too, those are gonna be.
Yeah, I think those will be good.
They will.
We need that building to be efficient.
Yes, sir, thank you.
All right, item number 5, consider and possibly approve a plat for Cason Ranchettes, Phase 5. This is J.P. Cox survey, abstract number 430, Madison County, County Road 4950. Anyone here to give us some information on Cason Ranchettes? And we've got the flat up here. Anybody would like to take a look at that? This is a well-known development, and this is, I don't know necessarily this is the final phase here, but if you need additional time or information, Greg Hayes has provided his number here if you want to take a look at these. Again, these guys have done this development right.
Well, I am as realtor as there are questions.
Why don't you just tell us a little bit about this development? I thought you might be here. You don't have to give detail. Is this going to be ever expanding? Is this the end? Kind of where are we?
I'm not sure what lots are on that plat, but there are 23 lots out there, so I'm not quite sure what's on this plat. And it's an original tract that I sold, and he split up into flats, and he has restrictions out there that they have to follow. And each tract is around, you know, just a teeny bit off, but they're all supposed to be 3 acres.
What kind of residents are on these lots here? Are these trailer manufactured homes?
Well, they're open. I mean, it's out in the country in Kaysen. It's still in Titus County, and it's still in Chapel Hill School District. So, I mean, the owner finances them, and, you know, they sell them pretty much like hotcakes. And if they don't keep up their payments, then he forecloses on them, and then, you know, then I would resell them again. But it's, he has restrictions. They can't have a bunch of parked cars out there. They can have mobiles. And what we find out is realtors, we get calls, you know, 5 times a day, people looking for a place to put a mobile. They sell these mobiles, and then these people can't find any place to put them. So that's, you know, that's how come he's able to sell them so easily, because everybody's looking for a place to put a mobile. But he's good on his restrictions. You know, he watches them, and he restricts them, you know, to what they can hand out there and what they can't.
So he doesn't always purchase the mobile home or the manufactured home. You said the owner finances just the lots. He doesn't lease them the lots, so they actually end up owning the lots.
Right. They average about 500 down and 150 a month.
How is his septic systems work? Do they share?
They have to come through the county and get their own septic.
I know they've had no trouble with previous septic issues out there.
No, he's brought water from by county out of Pittsburgh. He's brought that to them in the street. They have to pay for their own water meter, and they have to pay for their own septic service. And it's approved by Chris Clinton.
Clinton.
He has to come out. So yeah, he's got all that in his restrictions that they have to abide by that.
The subdivision plat's almost done. Is it possible to table this? Because we did, how about the streets? Address the streets and see if they come up.
There are no streets. It's down the county road.
There's not a street. It's on one of my county road.
It's a long, the original piece I sold him is a long, narrow piece that's got all road frontage down one side, so he's just chopped it up in the 3 acre track. So everybody's got road frontage on their 3 acre track, county road.
He said if there was any questions, he said, I can't be there for the meeting, but he said if there's any questions, I'll be more happy to answer them. And there are 10 lots, I think, what it is that he's selling this thing and doing this thing. Mm-hmm. And like I say, they're all on county road. Everything faces above. Both all the lots are 3 or 3 plus acres.
Yeah, they're all right around 3 acres. If it's, it might be just a tad over 3 acres. They're right at 3 acres.
Each one's got a septic system, so it sounds like the critical things that we talked about are size of the lots, which has been one of the things we've looked at making adjustments to, quality of the road, no new roads on existing county roads that we are servicing, and then each lot is big enough for its own individual septic system. We're not running into septic system problems there, and he's got a good history at this particular development with his septic installation.
Right. Yeah.
County Fire Protection. This is really, really the very beginnings of something that I have no idea where this topic will go. You heard a few weeks ago from Chief McRae about the difficulties that all of our fire departments are having, not only in our area, this is a nationwide issue that these fire departments, especially the volunteer fire departments that are so dependent upon volunteers, continue to struggle to get volunteers. The older, seasoned, wise fellows and ladies that work for these entities are not being replaced at the pace that they need to be. And Chief McRae has been good to, I think, at least give us what he knows and tell us so that we're not getting by surprise at some point in the future. I got a visit, or we had a meeting, I should say, Chief McRae and Mike Aarons and myself had a meeting to discuss this. And some of the things that I learned from this meeting, as you will recall, we got a contract with the city to provide support for the county. And I think we're in about the third year of a 10-year contract. Stats will show that the number of volunteers that are showing up for county fires is waning, and the city is having to provide much of that support. They are not coming to us and telling us, you know, we're going to stop or we're going to slow down, but he wants us, and I want us, and I think you all want us to be aware of where county fire protection is going. Not necessarily this year or even 2 years from now, but at some point in the future, I believe that county fire protection is going to look different. How will it look? Not sure. That's what I would like a committee to get together and start at least discussing this. I want you to hear from some of the fire chiefs. I want you to hear from Larry McRae. I want you to hear from Mike Aarons. Talk to your individual volunteers that are in these instances. We've already seen the Winfield Fire Department change, make a major change. How long will it be before others do the same? I don't know. As you're aware, some other counties in the state have gone with emergency service districts. I don't know much about those. So by putting this on the agenda, I'm not in any way suggesting to you that we make an immediate change today, but I want this commissioner's court to be aware of what's going on within the world of volunteer fire departments and the county so that we don't look up someday and find ourselves way behind. That's really as much as I have to say. Commissioner Fields called me the other day wanting all kinds of information. Simply couldn't get it to him. But Chief and Mike Aarons and I felt like this might be a good thing for the city to do, and we can put whoever we want on this committee. I thought maybe a couple of you, maybe a member of the, you know, just of the general public, a businessman, possibly Chief McRae would serve on here to at least start the process. So, any comments or questions I'll try to answer, but I really told you all that I know.
Judge, we had, when all this started, we had, Winfield, really, on our head, this volunteer fire department. How far at that time, I believe, when they took the volunteer, then in 89, the tri-life, and then all the commissioners, was encouraging people in the different precincts to look at this and say they want to start a volunteer fire department. I know Cookman has the satellite, and that was the last area that we had that could be covered. We looked at a lot of different things. We looked at the possibility of having paid county volunteer fire departments in the county. If you do that, you're looking down the road at some point in time. At that time, we didn't feel like we needed that. We were going to be
sufficient with the fire departments, our volunteer fire department. What has happened when we started these volunteers, we had a lot of people join, a lot of older people join. It really is what made these fire departments. What has happened is older people are retiring and they're not able to fight fires anymore. I think we're going to have to work in the community and to encourage people to be a part of our volunteer fire departments. It's no doubt in my mind, we have equipment all over Titus County. I don't know of another county in Northeast Texas, and I'm not sure we have anybody in our size in the state of Texas that has the fire protection that we have. And the trucks and equipment out there to fight fires. This is one thing that people, I know Philip, and I know Jimmy, and Mr. Riddle, will see this, people want fire protection. They want it. We have to play for it, and let's do what we need to do, but they want fire protection. And this is something that we can look at, Judge, and I think you can look at it and say, hey, do we need, and I don't mean, I'm not a judge, I don't mean the next 2, 3, 4 years. I'm talking about we've got a 7-year contract left with the city. We'll buy everybody works together, and I think that really kind of brings all of our departments, especially the training that the city gives our volunteers. Because we don't want anybody out there to be involved here for fire if they don't have the training. Waiting for an accident to happen. And I do think we need to look at this and talk to your chiefs and your different fire departments, see what they got. At some point in time, like I said, we just started, it was a new 10-year contract 3 years ago. We've got 7 years left on that in the city. But you can't start it too early. We need to look at it, see what our cost is going to be. At some point in time, we might need to change direction. We might need to. At some point in time, have an election, see if the people want it, maybe in the fire district, separate from the county. Just, there's different things in this committee can look at and decide what they want to do to judge the future. But the good thing about it, we have time to look at it and to try to decide what we want to do.
Well, I understand a fire district or district is a tax districts become taxing entities that additional tax burden, so that's how those work. Now, would you reduce some of the expense that you got going towards the city? I don't know. Again, I've not thought through this. I don't know the answers to these. Here's what I would like to suggest. I would like to suggest Commissioner Parker and Commissioner Riddle begin the formation of this committee, and I would suggest that we ask Chief McRae. A suggestion that I would have would be to meet with Chief McRae, go to a couple of chief's meetings, hear from them what I'm telling you. They can tell you a whole lot more than I can told you. And then perhaps you all can bring us information, and this might be a subject that we could visit a couple of times a year to see how things are changing and, you know, just to keep up. We don't want phase into a change based upon how many homes or people we're losing because of inadequate manpower. We want to be ahead of that. So would you two be willing to begin this process and meet together? I would appreciate that, and we'll look forward to hearing back from you, and you kind of gather some information and bring it back to us. Chief McRae's ready, willing, and able to you know, provide you some opportunity to listen to what he's hearing out there among his chiefs. Anybody other have another comment or question about this?
Judge, I think our volunteer fire department is right, that's maybe helping neighbor. But I do know when Winfield was in their dilemma, and I'm going to try to make here the board stepped up. We make this a satellite volunteer fire department, and I know that we've got several more volunteers, and we're starting to grow again because of this, because of the knowledge that the volunteer fire departments need help. This is something we all can do and encourage young people to get involved, and this is, again, neighbor helping neighbor. chiefs in the different departments, myself, go out, and you hear anybody that's interested, maybe go talk to them, but they got to have a training. They got to have physicals, they got to have a training. We don't want anybody out there fighting viruses that's not ready to fight them.
That's basically where all this is starting with the lack of a volunteer, is so, I mean, I know when we started going to X out there in 92, it was strictly, volunteer. Basically, what we trained, except what we, some of us had had a little experience on other places, and that's where it started out. But I know over the years, I have come to the point that I don't want to go in the house with somebody, that doesn't have training. My life's on the line, and, their life is too. It's something that needs to be done, and it's, the state don't require a whole lot, but they do require some, and we just need to get folks that have got time and will, willing to put forth the effort to get the training and get in there and help out. That's something that we've been trying to do for the past several years now, with little success in doing it. But we are picking up a few. We picked up 30 out here with Nortex in the last year. So we're running about 15 out there, man. 12, 15 is what, and we've got about 6 or 8 that are pretty much there every fire. And it's like you said, Mike, all of us are getting, that are on there, that have been on there about the whole time, are getting old enough that we, I believe the only one at this point don't even have to do them in a house right now. But I can go help all of others and be on sports, help the guys with rare packs and stuff like that in the overhead. But they've got to have training to know what to do, so.
And that training is significant. It's not, a couple hours. It's training. It's a commitment that takes time out of your ability to work and earn a living, out of your family and vacation time. If you're asking these guys to do life-threatening work for no pay, provide their own gasoline and supplies, take time out of their schedule devoted to training, and then have a job that's flexible enough to let them go at a moment's notice. A lot of demands on a volunteer, and not a lot. All right, thank you very much. Item number 7, considering possibly ratify a contract with Co-File Preservation to complete the restoration of 27 volumes of Titus County Historical Annual Deeds. Yes, ma'am. Bill Newman, County Clerk.
There was a project started before I took office to preserve 27 volumes of handwritten historical deeds, and they have been done beautifully, but there's like one last part, which is that where they link the historical deeds by grantor and grantee and date into our system, and that needs to be done. The work they've done so far is wonderful, but if we don't do this, then they won't be linked electronically for people to, search through our computers. So I'm asking that you ratify this contract. It is for $10,916.45, and I checked with the auditor's office, and right now the archive balance is $21,071. So we have plenty of money.
And this is not further restoration of the book. This is.
This is basically to finish the project and make it accessible to the public.
Via computer.
Yes, via computer. It's to bring these old documents from when the courthouse burned in 1895 to the early 1900s. It's to bring those into 20th century technology.
Where are these stored?
These are stored in the public room in my offices.
proceeds to the charge of the vehicle.
Yes, they're earmarked for only, they can only be used for this type of archival, you know, preservation.
Make that motion, Judge.
Diane, would you like to speak on this?
No, I'm fine with that. That was the whole plan, so she'd be good.
Yes, sir.
Motion by Commissioner Fields to approve this contract to finish up this project.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Fenton, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question while you were right there, just at the point of discussion? You've got some records that are over there upstairs in the annex.
Yes.
And?
They're stored in a very poor condition. Not that the records are not in that poor condition yet, but some of the glass, basically the back wall of the storage area is broken, rubbing, any kind of vermin, bugs could get in there. I was hoping at a later date, maybe we can be right with the building preservation and remodeling is finished, that I might use access to the auditor's office to bring those over here so they don't have to pass that storage.
How much storage space? I have no idea how much is up there. How much would you need? I mean, is that more than you need at auditor's office? It's really the only.
I don't believe it is more because parts of those, some of those records will have to be kept under lock and key. Others are in the LPR, which is the other public record.
Is any of air conditioning up there?
No. And that is a factor. Most of the historical records and the old records should be stored in there from 50 to 68 degrees.
Is it in that front hall there?
Yes, it's if you from the break room, if you go up the stairs in the right hand corner, head back north, there they are.
So at some point you're gonna request that we give some space in this courtroom and bring some of the annex stored records over to this area?
Yes, that is what I would like to do. It's very important to keep these records. These are our historical records.
Well, I wanted them to be aware of that. I knew you and I would discuss that, but I've forgotten it as we get ready to transition some offices, switching them around, bringing. Carl, you still planning to move back downstairs to free up that space?
Yes, we'll go down where John Mark was. But that's the treasure.
I think where that stuff is right now, that there was air conditioning, air conditioning heat stuff, and it was working. It may not be now.
Yeah, I
think you've got to keep that stuff at a certain temperature.
Yes. It's very important to the degradation, for the degradation of those records. Even though a lot of our stuff is digital now, because that's what we're kind of working for, paperless. A lot of those records are still, those analog records have not been, you know, they need to be kept safe.
Well, I know when we built the jail, we had all the kind of a lot of records over there. We need the statements, the archives, the statements. The same person that is like, you know, we need to keep this, or we don't need, you don't need to keep this anymore. Any of those things like that, that's maybe something you'd like to get a state involved in. It doesn't cost anything for those people to come down.
You have to state
like stuff that needs to be kept was sent to East Texas State University of Commerce. And it's still ours, but it's kept up there in a climate-controlled atmosphere.
Yes, and
everybody can see and everybody can use.
I think a lot of that is on microfilm, and they maintain the ability to do that on microfilm. They actually do not have that capability.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Item number 8, consider possibly approve the purchase of 2 tractors for 2024.
Judge, I've got two quotes. I went through the state Bible and got two quotes, one for John Deere and one for New Holland. The two quotes for the two tractors. The New Holland has got a few extra, it's got a few extra options on it that John Deere do now. There's not that much difference in the price there, and I would like to see about getting the New Holland tractor.
So the New Holland bid was provided by Conroy Tractor?
Yes, sir. And John Deere bid was about half higher than John Deere.
And both of these came through Byboard?
Yes, sir.
Explain how that works, Rick.
What the deal is, and I met with the guy from Byboard here in the court in Jenkins' office over on the back of the night. And he explained to me how it all worked and got me set up and all to do the bidding process, or the quote process. The state goes through and bids all these, I mean, they've got hundreds of bids from these companies, and it's the John Deere company. I sent the RFQ to North Carolina for John Deere and to New Hampshire, I think it was, for New Holland. They immediately called their local dealer and told them, you know, this is what the bid is, this is what you got to let the tractor go for. And that's the way it works.
When you do that, you don't have to go through a sealed bid process like if you went to local contractor?
Exactly, but the state has already done all that bidding for them. This is, that is the deal right there.
And I'm just clarifying for everybody that we don't have sealed bids that we're opening here today because you've gone through this route. Even though the bids end up coming here with Conroy Tractor on it and Ag Power, you've still gone through the state Byboard, which doesn't require sealed bids.
Yeah.
All right, so even though the price is a wee bit higher on the John Deere, not much?
$753, I think, is the difference in the two bids.
So you're asking if you could buy these two from Conroy Tractor at a price for the two, including setup, delivery, heavy equipment, tax, and freight, $75,934.00.
Yes.
Second by Commissioner Fields, all those in favor of purchase of these two tractors, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item number nine, consider possibly approved travel seminar. These first few are from Sheriff Ingram. Item one is to request to send Michael Garcia, David Cross, Jordy Hall, Lieutenant Corporal and Corporal on their ranks to the 29th Annual Texas Jail Association Conference in Austin. This again, as I have mentioned to you, let me know if they are actually leaving today, the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. The cost of registration, $630. Cost of meals on per diem rate, $600. And total cost of hotel, motel, $1,640. All of this money, as I understand, is to be paid for by the staff grant, leaving a net cost to us of $970. And that is in Austin, going on this week. The next request from Sheriff Ingram is to send Lane Miner, Sergeant Investigator, and one of our designated representatives on site sewage facilities. Send him to Paris, Texas for on site sewage facility training. That'll be June 19th. The cost of registration is $165. He'll have half days per diem, $20. Be taking a agency vehicle, that 120-mile round trip, so the cost of $185 to send Sergeant Miner to Secretary of School training. Second, we just like it to send Sergeant Clint Bain to the same training there in Paris, same cost of $185. Next request from Sheriff Ingram to send Tracy Hayes, Sergeant of the Warrants, to Prisoner Controls, the name of the conference. This is in Bronx, June 15th, 16th. He will travel the day before and come back at the end on the 16th. $295 registration, 2.5 days worth of $40 per diem for a total of $100. Cost of hotel, $178. Taking the county vehicle, $623 total cost for that optional training. The next request is from Clerk John Newman, requesting to send Paula Herman to Vital Statistics Regional Conference at the Omni Hotel in Dallas at the end of July 31st. $120 registration. There will be carpooling, so the total cost relative to Paula Herman would be $120. And then Joe Newman would like to attend that same event. She will be doing the driving. That's a one day, no overnight, right?
No.
Why is there no meal cost involved here?
Lunch is provided. And I think maybe even breakfast. So
$267.77, including the registration and the mileage there. This last request was mine to attend the Probate Academy in Lubbock. Next week, we already approved this trip and the cost of that registration fee. I could make flight arrangements through Southwest because it's cheaper than the mileage to drive up there, and certainly a lot easier on me. So I'm asking to be able to attend this the 20th, 21st, and 22nd next week with travel
Now, the last meeting, there was comments made that me and some other commissioners passed or put you in the, that building. And that, I think, and I went back and looked at some things. I want to hand these down. You turn to the second page. Well, the reason I'm going to talk this up is some things said that me and other commissioners have moved you to the maintenance office for the Latin building. And if you look at that second page, it says consider the possibility of further renovation and renovation regarding remodeling and that Latin building, register building, addition to all the tracks, one, also an acquisition to the track. Says motion was made by Commissioner Conley, second by Commissioner Riddle, that approved floor plan A and floor plan to combine the election and tax office of the county. Motion passed 4-1, Commissioner Pierce opposed nay. Now, I want to correct that, and what I stood on, because I thought that's where duty should have been, but once it was approved by the court, then December, we voted on the remodel, and not only that building, but here in December. But anyway, I just wanted to correct that and this list of what they said. I also encourage you to go back and listen to the tapes on those dates. It's very, if you don't know how to get, go back and listen to the tapes, please call me. I'll be glad to tell you how to do that. I did want to correct that issue where I stood on things and what I wanted to correct. Size county as far as I don't know if any
Mm-hmm.